Welcome back to Wrong Opinions Only with your hosts Justin and Kayla. And Kayla, the Oscars are back. We had ourselves a show tonight. We had a ton of fun and we are podding right after the Oscars. It's late. We lost an hour of sleep. It doesn't care. We are revving. And I'm also maybe a little tipsy. I drank a lot of wine tonight.
You did drink a lot of wine. A lot happened at the Oscars and... like you said, we lost an hour. We're still rearing to go. We are recording right after the show. Honestly, I'm still stunned at the last few minutes events that occurred. So I'm still kind of wrapping my mind around what happened tonight, and we'll go through it all. But should we start, Justin, with what the people want to know? They want to know, is this the underdog story? Is this the year that Justin wins the Oscar bet? And I'm so happy to tell you folks that is in fact not the Justin wins the Oscar pool.
We need to set this up. We need to set this up for the people because the underdog story almost came true.
But did it?
We were watching the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I was getting crushed on the below the line categories as I usually do. The animated films, the documentaries, just couldn't get any of those right. With the final four left, best actor, best actress, best director, best picture, we decided to count up how many we had right. Kayla informs me she has two more correct than me at this point. I'm like, wow, we have different best actors and best actresses, but same director and best picture. So I have a chance to tie her, and she would be furious if I
tie her. That's true.
First, Cillian Murphy wins. Boom. I had him. You did not.
I was rooting for Paul Giamatti. I knew that was a swivel left, but I love to be surprised.
Yeah, we don't need the clarifiers. Okay. I'm trying to build the story here. We had the same best picture and best director. So I needed to win best actress to tie you, is what I thought at the time. And Emma Stone comes home with the dub. I cheer in victory. I make a ridiculous post on her Instagram story.
You were so excited.
I am showing the room. We have tied. We're both going to have to do a power hour.
In your eye.
It was amazing. I had so much fun. And then Kayla recounts. And she realized that sometimes you have to add numbers to the previous number that you had before.
I just got so confused with how many right picks I had that I left out one. So once I added that one in, I was vindicated once again.
Kayla forgot how to count, and then when I thought I had won, we recounted, and she goes,
Sometimes it's nice to let the underdogs feel good a little bit one year, and then crush them down with the strike of your pen when you recount it. I got to see the pure joy in your eyes, the song in your heart, and then I got to crush it when I said that I won once again.
I think you also crushed the feelings of our listeners, because who doesn't want to see you in a power hour on the pod just getting smammered as we're talking
about God knows what? You know, I know the people really were rooting for it. It was close because I was stunned at the Emma Stone win. So I really thought, I too thought maybe we were tied up here. But, you know, I did get the W in the end.
I think because part of this was your mistake, which went to my joy. You should join me in this power hour, even if it's not the full time when it happens. But join me for 20, 30 minutes. Let's get a little taste, you know? Like, join in for the people. Have a little fun with us, Kayla.
You know what? I think I could commit to that. That might be something entertaining, you know, to join among the peasants every now and then.
Fair enough, Kayla. The Oscar pools.
We are doing a Power Hour episode to be announced later on in the year when we think of a good subject matter we can hold on to drunkenly. Okay. Jimmy Kimmel hosted the Oscars. What did you think about his hosting yet again?
So I don't think it was super strong this year. I like that we had a host, right? We've tried a lot of different things, multiple hosts, no hosts, just the presenters. I think a host is needed to keep the energy alive in the room. I think he was a little conservative, a little kind of dad jokey this year, but in general, I like him. And I will say when we did kind of our Oscar hopefuls or predictions last year, I said one of the people I'd really like to host was John Mulaney.
You and a lot of people, for sure.
Yeah, yes. And he presented, and he was phenomenal today. Obviously, that's just a small presenting role, but that type of energy is what we need. And frankly, I saw a lot of backlash on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it nowadays, about Jimmy Kimmel. And he wasn't the funniest. fine. But you know what? Stop bitching about the presenter or the host every single year and just enjoy the show. Guess what? Nobody's going to be perfect for everybody. All right? They are going to make jokes that are at the expense of the actors, the shows, the movies. Guess what? That's part of the fucking hosting duties. Mm-hmm. You need to just lean into it. Like, a lot of the stuff I saw is like, oh, wow, another host that thinks the movies are too long. Well, guess what? They freaking are. They're half an hour longer on average this year than in previous years. So he's going to make a comment about it. How about you stop being a damn Twitter troll and enjoy the show and stop just looking for something to just be negative about and have fun like we did tonight. And as I said before, I had a lot of wine, so I'm very
Justin is at a level 100. This is exactly the experience you get after you watch June with him each time.
That's true.
This is amazing. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it was not a coordinated effort when they had John Mulaney come in and present because he wasn't in anything nominated. I think that was almost a little taste of what could come. Now, whether that's a John Krasinski in the Fantastic Four cameo where we're like, oh, we're just going to give you a little bit of what you want, but we're not really going to give it to you.
True.
I don't know. But I think they'd both be open to it. And honestly, I'm always entertained by a new host because it's fun whether you're praising them or it's fun whether you're kind of being like, this is kind of crap and making fun of it. It's good either way.
Very true. Very true. And I like somebody who can kind of keep the show going. And you have the monologue at the front end, obviously. And then they only really come out a handful of other times, one or two jokes, boom, we move on. And one of the things that was a little bit different this year is they had previous winners come out to announce the best supporting and best actress and actor nominations, which I thought was kind of interesting. What did you think about that?
I really liked that. I was a little nervous at the sincerity level it would feel like when they're reading off the teleprompter and then to the, you know, person. But I always say this, it's probably so rare that they actually hear that, especially like on a public stage as someone complimenting what you've put your career into. So I found a lot of actors to be really emotionally affected by what the other, you know, what their coworkers and potentially idols were saying to them. So I thought that was great. I wish there was enough time to do that a couple times in the show, but they're really, it's a tight show already and it's several hours long, but I really enjoyed it.
And this year it was actually just a smidge under 3.5 hours, which is, I believe, like about 10 minutes shorter than last year. So, you know, 3.5 hours is still a long time, but when it's the Oscars, it could go 4 or longer. Who knows? And I think, like you said, when you have the previous winners out there kind of expressing their joy and admiration for the people who have been nominated, that's something they go home to, they can live with, even if they don't win the award. They have that moment to remember. So obviously we talked about Emma Stone winning her second Oscar for leading actress in a role, and Lily Gladstone did not, which a lot of people were rooting for, but she still was able to have that moment where they were praising her on stage and saying how impactful her performance was and how the Osage Nation like appreciated it and how she represented them so well. So I think it was a nice touch, and the fact they were able to incorporate that without lengthening the show, I think, was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. And it helped that I think they were picking actors and actresses that had some sort of relationship with the person they were talking about. It wasn't just picking someone that they didn't know. A lot of them were talking about their actual friendship. When they were talking about them as a person, not just on stage, they that was true. That was a true fact because they actually know them outside of the work that they're watching. So I also enjoyed it. Overall, it was a really good show. I gotta say, not a lot of people got, you know, walked off the stage as far as being played on. A lot of people had short, sweet speeches. Mm-hmm. I kind of like it when people have a little unhinged speech that we can kind of comment on, but I felt like even though some of them did get political, there wasn't anything that was really, oh, wow, what just happened moments on screen. So it was a pretty quote-unquote normal Oscars, I would say, as far as crazy events during the show.
Yeah, but I think I agree. There wasn't a lot of like just write home speeches that went on, but there was a lot of good presenters this year, which I enjoyed. Like, we had a couple good memorable moments. The Jimmy Kimmel and John Cena streaking skit, I thought was pretty funny.
Hilarious.
He literally came out naked, like, and then they had to put a curtain over him, essentially. That was really funny. We had Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. We're great together talking about kind of the Barbenheimer dynamic.
Drama, yep. Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. And then we had the twins beef where we had them talking about Batman, and then you had Michael Keaton in the front row, and they started Schwarzenegger and DeVito started going at Keaton for being Batman. I thought that was pretty funny too. So I think they did a pretty good job keeping people entertained this year.
It kind of reminded me of the Barry, no, it wasn't Barry Keoghan. It was Pedro Pascal and Kieran Culkin, kind of. I don't know if you've been seeing kind of their back and forth about like him beating him up, and then it just fades to Kieran Culkin looking like just deadpan in the audience. Great. I love it when actors can kind of commit to previous bits. You kind of saw that with Emily Blunt and Anne Hathaway with Meryl Streep on the awards not too long ago, kind of bringing up the Devil Wears Prada kind of funness. So, I mean, we love those films for those interactions. So I like it when they can kind of go back into those. So a lot of those interactions, I mean, sometimes they fall flat. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel, he made that joke about the Zone of Interest and the Anatomy of a Fall, about how that was like a rom-com to the Germans, and that felt really flat. There was like actual animosity from Robert Downey Jr. in the crowd that was making me uncomfortable.
I thought it was a great joke at first. Like, it was not very subtle, but he was going to move on. And then I think they showed Downey, who was like pointing to his nose, and he was like, "Oh, is that two on the nose, or are you doing..." And he kind of went in again, like, "Or are you doing the, you're snorting something up there?" And I think that extra step may have been like, because Downey looked like he was going along with it, but was not very excited.
See, I think it turned when he talked about him having his acceptance speech already in his pocket. I think he got like really annoyed by that, because you don't want to be the person that like thinks it's a lock. And so I think he was a little insulted that he just was kind of coming off that way, because his face went like completely down. Like, no, I mean, turn to him, no expression on his face. And Robert Downey Jr. is one that is usually wearing a smirk or something. He was giving him nothing. I was like, ooh.
And it wasn't even clever, because he's like, "Oh, or do you have a rectangular penis?" And it's like, all right,
it was
well,
bad.
He was very dad jokey this year, is one thing that I was kind of saying throughout the show. And then one thing that he was getting a lot of pushback on, online anyway, was when he mentioned just kind of like an offshoot thing of, that's the only thing we could show about Poor Things, like on a national TV, basically insinuating, quote unquote, there's a lot of like adult material, sex and stuff in it. And there was a clip of Emma Stone, who looked kind of annoyed and was looking at the person next to her. And some people were saying, she was saying, "Oh, he's a prick," or, "Oh yeah, right." But like, he didn't say anything bad. He was just like, "Oh yeah, that's about all we can show on TV here," which is fair. There was a lot of adult material in Poor Things that you're not going to show on an Oscars like clip preview, you know? So I thought that was a little over the top.
I think people always go wrong when they try lip reading celebrities. Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking of Selena Gomez with the whole like picture taking. So I just think at the Emmys, so I just think like maybe don't try to lip ring people and try to assume what they're saying, because you're never saying anything good that they're talking about each other. So maybe just kind of leave it as a question.
And whatever you get in your mind, you can pretty much make them make it seem like that's what they're saying.
Yes.
You know? So if you're like, "Oh, I think they're saying this," then you look at them talking and you're like, "Oh yeah, that's definitely what they said." But then you could have came up with six more phrases and it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So shall we get to some categories here? So unsurprisingly, Best Picture, we had Oppenheimer.
Yep.
We had a whole Barbenheimer episode this summer. What a great time in July for those movies to drop. So no surprise there. Honestly, I got Oppenheimer on 4K. It was just a delight rewatching it recently. Phenomenal film. But I got to say, like, Best Picture films this year felt so good. Like, all of them are really, really good. You know, Maestro's Maestro. But otherwise, I really enjoy these films. I pretty much got to the last week of seeing the last two films in the Best Picture. So it was a race just to be able to see them, because a lot of them were just not released nationally, which is always a struggle. But I really, really say try to watch these films when they eventually are released on streaming and more available, because I just think this was a great year for film. It really was, like, anyone could win and should win.
It really was, and it was a pretty wide variety of films too. We had a couple international features in there, and you know, Kayla mentioned it on a previous pod, but check out our Letterboxd list. We'll post something on the Instagram account of what we rated the films this year and how we ranked them in the Best Picture race. Kayla, you know, was able to push through and see all 10 films. I believe I landed at 8. I was not able to see The Zone of Interest or Anatomy of a Fall. And I do want to see Anatomy of a Fall. Just it wasn't made available, mm-hmm. and I missed the short window when it came to theaters near us. Zone of Interest seemed a little heavy for me, so I didn't really have too much of an interest in seeing that. But if that does come on streaming, I will at some point. But stacked cast, obviously, the Barbenheimer phenomenon was big. Maestro, they were making a big push. I wasn't a huge fan mm-hmm. of the film, but Bradley Cooper's performance was great. Past Lives had a run for a while, which is a phenomenal film, like especially if you are into those types of dramas of potential long lost connections and loves, mm-hmm. and if we didn't meet in this life, maybe we would have met in a previous life. So just a beautifully done film. And then we previously talked a little bit about American Fiction and The Holdovers too. Just all around great films, and usually I think I'm less critical about the Oscars piece mm-hmm. of films than you are in at least previous times we've done the podcast together. So I'm looking for something that's more engaging, more fun, driving me to the theaters. But this year, like I said, I saw 8 of 10, and I do want to see one of the other ones. So good year.
Yeah, it's definitely a good year. We had Best Actor, of course. Cillian Murphy won for Oppenheimer. Just a real regular guy, man. This guy wants to make his movie and then go back home and be with his family. Gotta respect it. He had just a really simple, nice speech. I love the guy. I mean, he's in one of my favorite zombie movies. Love me some Cillian Murphy.
Favorite zombie movie?
What 28 Days Later.
Oh, okay.
The scariest zombies I've ever seen.
Truly. I'm a big Cillian Murphy fan now that I've watched all the Peaky Blinders, because, I mean, Tommy Shelby's just a badass. So who doesn't love some Tommy Shelby?
That's great. I love it. Actually, I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list. Best Actress. Again, we talked about this a little bit, but Emma Stone won for Poor Things. I don't want to say it was a complete upset because they both were kind of having these one-off wins. Mm-hmm. Lily Gladstone getting, I think, a little bit more of an edge. Highly, highly predicted to win. I gotta say, Emma Stone is so deserving. Poor Things was phenomenal. I did really feel bad for Lily Glad. Like I felt like actual heartbreak for her a little bit, just because I know everyone says there'll be other roles, there'll be other opportunities, but I just think sometimes that's not always the case. It's definitely not always the case for people of color. I feel like that's been talked about a lot in the movie circuit lately with actresses in particular. And so a part of me did like, Well, please someone give her something else to do. She's amazing.
I completely agree. She was phenomenal in Killers of the Flower Moon. And when I picked Emma Stone, mm-hmm. I wanted to pick something a little bit different than you, because I had a feeling you were going to go with Lily Gladstone. So I wanted to try to, you know, make up some ground on the picks there, because I was going to lose out on the lower ones. And I also just loved her performance in that movie. And it's such a tough performance to pull off. Of she's having this full character transition from adolescence, or basically a baby through adolescence through adulthood,
right,
all in the time of one film. And she's like learning all this stuff on the spot. It's a very courageous movie. She's doing a lot of kind of out there things. Like she was in a lot of different sex scenes, which you don't see from a lot of like leading actresses now. And the thing that kind of swayed me was that she was in pretty much every scene of the film. So if people were getting really critical about the 50-50 split, there was about an hour in Killers of the Flower Moon that Lily Gladstone was basically just not in. But, I mean, as you said when we were watching,
I hear you on that, and you're not the only person, you know, like acknowledging that, because when she is absent in the film, you feel it.
Yeah,
like, you're thinking, like, is she dead? You know, like, because she's just, like, when you do see her, she's just in various levels of unwell. But I just think, like, it's what you do with the time, you know?
That's fair.
And the feeling she had to convey with just, like, her... There's a lot of eye acting, a lot of face acting, I think, in these films this year. And I just think it was just such a... I mean, someone called her the soul of the movie, and I think that's absolutely correct. True. Like, you know, you're just like, oh my... Like, let her be the one to get out as people are going down left and right. In her tribe. And so, yeah, I'm going to be very curious what people write about tomorrow about it. because there's nothing to take away from Emma Stone. She was absolutely phenomenal in Poor Things. Highly recommend you see both films, Killers of Flower Moon as well. Best Supporting Actor, we have, of course, the winner, Robert Downey Jr. There was no doubt. We knew he was going to win. Good speech. You know, he's been doing it several times, so I just really think you kind of run out of different ways to make jokes about the same stuff. And I think that's kind of where it ended. I think it was a little bit of a...
He had an awkward speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just, he made some jokes. What'd he say? He thinks his shitty childhood, more so than the Academy for where he is today. And then the Academy
in that order, yeah.
Yeah. So it was fine. I think he may have been a little bit more on edge after the Jimmy Kimmel situation that wasn't too long before that. So who knows, but I don't think there was any real race there. I personally liked Mark Ruffalo's performance since it was so freaking weird and Poor Things.
Yes.
But Downey Jr. was great in Oppenheimer and deserves the win. I think that's his first Oscar, too.
Definitely his first Oscar. I wonder where it goes from here. You know, it's funny, as much as he's really trying to shed the Iron Man role, and even as much as saying things in the press about how he kind of like, that was, I don't want to even talk about that time period. I'm over that. He's so Iron Man to me. I know. And all I could think of is he would hate that, but that's really like what I know him from. And I've spent so much time with him in a role.
You know what, Robert Downey Jr.? Stop hating it when you made $400+ million dollars off of the damn role, all right? Appreciate it. It's like these bands who have one hit and they're like, we don't want to keep playing the one hit over and over. Well, guess what? That's the only reason that people came to see you today. A little bit different with Downey. He's done a lot of different things, but embrace it. You know, you're out of the MCU right now. It was a run in your life, and now you're doing these other types of movies. That's awesome for you. You're a great actor, but... You know, there's no reason to kind of downplay what you did before. You're basically the star of the whole MCU, which dominated movie theaters near 2 decades. So,
and probably will never do again at the rate that they're going in. So, absolutely. Okay, next we had Best Director, Christopher Nolan, crushing in Oppenheimer. I believe they said it was his 8th nomination, first win. That is not insane when you look at his filmography, but just in terms of how many times he's been as close to the stage and hasn't won it. I'm so happy he won for Oppenheimer. A phenomenal film. He easily could have won, in my opinion, for several of his other films. Many people think The Dark Knight in particular.
Dunkirk was nominated as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, Memento was great. Obviously, he's a great great director, and he was going to get one of these at one point, right?
You think. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, these poor directors are never going to get it towards the end. So rough spot. But I'm happy for Christopher Nolan. I'm so excited for some of the other movies that he's going to make in the future, maybe with less weight to it, because not worried about chasing the Oscar award. Of course, no one's chasing it as hard as Bradley Cooper was. So I'm very curious what he does after this award. So I just don't know with him.
Has anybody told him not to be it? Well, I guess it's an oxymoron. Don't be so much of a tryhard, because nobody likes a tryhard, but also when it comes to Oscar time, you really do need to promote yourself and your movies in order to get the buzz. So
there's like so many stories going around about him, but my favorite is when he cried and wept over getting like this thank you something from Guillermo del Toro for auditioning. And he's like, I give that to everyone who auditions. Like, it wasn't anything special. He's just weeping.
Didn't he also say something weird? Like, he had no connection to his child at first. And if they were drowning in a pool, he wasn't sure if he tried to save them something.
I didn't know I would love my kid for like a year. But then, we're totally cool now. I don't know. It just unhinged. You know, method acting, maybe from Bad the Gooper.
Maybe.
We'll see what he comes up with next. We had animated feature film, The Boy and the Heron won. Not surprising there. I did see that in an early midday experience. I left work early, got to see The Boy and the Heron. It was fantastic. Highly recommend you see those movies. I would love to do like a Ghibli episode, Justin, where you watch some of those movies. I know you don't tend to watch anime. I don't either. It's really like his films in particular, because they're such good stories.
Yeah, I mean, I had this on my pick just because of who created the film, and it had such kind of a wide acclaim, and it was between that or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse for me, and I went with Boy and the Heron. I'm not big into animated movies. You know, maybe we can make that happen at some point. It's not anything I'm really running towards, though, Kayla.
You know, let me think about this. Something in our summer for sure when it's a little light.
After we teach you how to ride a bike, Kate.
Yeah, after we could watch an animated movie after you teach me how to ride a bike. That's so great. Will you buy me ice cream too? That's great. Adapted screenplay. American Fiction won this. This was quite a pleasant surprise.
So yeah, the screenplays were ones that I was going back and forth on a lot, and we were talking about this before we put our final picks in. This is the one that ended up costing me because I was like, I'm 50-50 between American Fiction and Poor Things. I'm going to go Poor Things because it's so weird. It seems like tougher to adapt. I lost. American Fiction won. And of course, I lose by one damn answer on this thing because Kayla forgot to count again.
Technically two because we would have tied. So you would have had to.
True. I just wanted to tell you, Kayla.
I just want to, you know.
Because I think it would have been great for the pod if we're both just drunk on the pod at the same time.
And I think that still may happen for us. Solidarity, brother. Original screenplay. We had Anatomy of a Fall. Just, I'm really excited for you to see this movie because it was just a wild trip of a court film. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, when I went into it, I knew nothing about it. So I didn't read anything about it. So all of it was developing. I'm like, oh, wow, this is a different movie than I thought. So I'm excited to talk about that maybe later when you see it.
And you just saw that in like a limited release in theaters when it came out?
Yeah, thankfully, yeah. AMC does a last Oscars release before the Oscars, so they'll release some of the movies that weren't released nationally, and that's how I was able to see Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall that weren't playing otherwise.
Yeah, I kept looking to see if it was going to come up on anything, and I wasn't able to see it, but I had Past Lives as my winner on this, obviously, another wrong answer for me, but recommend watching it. And that is now available on, I believe it's Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. There's so many streaming services to keep track of now, but it's out there. So watch it if you're into film at all. And Greta Lee was phenomenal in that.
Oh, absolutely. Original song, we of course predicted What Was I Made For from Barbie. But I gotta say, if we're talking about stage performance,
yep,
it was I'm Just Ken from Barbie.
I'm Just Ken.
Ryan Gosling killed it. It was fun. He went all in as the Ken in him had to do it.
Full pink, and when they panned to him with the black cowboy hat, you see Billie Eilish cracking up behind him. You see Margot Robbie trying not to laugh her ass off in front of him, and then he just breaks out, gets surrounded by a ton of Kens up on stage. Like, it was just a great performance. He leans into the goofy, which is what you need. And he did it. And I'm so glad that they decided to perform that during the Oscars this year, because that really just kept the energy level up at that point in the show.
And I love that some of the actors joined him for the movie. Simu, as soon as I saw him take center stage, I was like, yep, that's so cool that he, you know, like, that's a true guy's guy, you know, like, would support someone, just get on stage and be silly in this character for Ryan Gosling. And I just, he can sing. He was in a band. Like, Ryan Gosling can carry a tune. So,
He was all right on the vocals.
Really?
He was great.
I don't know. Maybe I just got lost in that boyish charm.
The vocals don't matter. It's the performance that matters.
So. Ryan Gosling, like, he could say something crazy, and I think I'd still be like, yeah, okay, cool.
I think he has that effect on people, Kayla.
Even me kind of turns me into the little like, oh, Ryan Gosling, stop. He's just, what a delight. I would love to meet him. Yes.
Nobody will get over The Notebook.
Maybe that's what it is, The Notebook feelings. But it was a great performance. Some wild other performances. Okay, let's just talk about it. I like original song. I know some people get mixed on it, but I enjoy it because it's a little something different between the shows. Mm-hmm. The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, gotta say, Becky G was not feeling that performance. I don't know if it was because it was from the Flaming Hot, aka the movie about the Flaming Hot Cheetos. I don't know if that was taking away, but the performance was just kind of like, what? Boring.
Yeah, so first of all, is Becky G 3.5 foot tall? I don't know. She looks so tiny out there. I am surprised anything from Flaming Hot, the invention of the Flaming Hot Cheetos, was represented at the Oscars. We didn't have any other songs that could have been nominated. It wasn't even released in theaters, right? It was direct to streaming and demand,
yep,
I think.
Yep, that's correct.
So why is this being celebrated at the Oscars? I'm not sure. How am I supposed to judge it without seeing it? I am, because it's about the Flaming Hot freaking Cheeto. It shouldn't be at the Oscars unless it's like some crazy story. Like,
maybe if they had the Cheetos, Cheetah, come on. And is he the one that goes, oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think That's that
or is
guy.
Is that the Kool-Aid guy? I don't know.
Yeah. I think they both do something similar.
Okay. I don't know.
The Kool-Aid guy runs through walls. The Flamin' Hot Cheeto is just a jackass. I just
kind of wish we had a little something to like, you know, Dancing Cheeto. Cheddar? Something to break
What's
it up.
What's his name? Cheddar the Cheetah? I don't know. He's a cheetah, right? So he's got some type of name. All right. We're going off the rails, Kayla.
We are. just like the Cheetos movie Shirley did. The song from Killers of the Flower Moon, A Song for My People. That was great.
Cool. That was cool.
Oh my God. That was, you could tell everyone was just like blown away. Killers of Flower Moon did not get any of the shine really in this heavy Oscar race, but I just really want to like give kudos to that film. It was a really good movie.
How was it not in adapted screenplay? Tell me how that did not make it an adapted screenplay.
Good question. I don't know.
Like, that seems like, because they changed it entirely from the novel in order to fit the screen, to revolve around the different characters, to revolve around the Osage Nation instead of the FBI. And it didn't even get nominated for any of those. So it was just kind of a weird decision by the Academy for me there.
I agree. I hope a lot of people go out to see that movie, because we really were, you know, we sat a little bit in the theater watching that movie because
it's heavy.
Very heavy. It made me just so much, you know, interested in like, wow, I don't know a lot about indigenous culture. I actually bought the book. I bought a couple other books too. And I just think, you know, see these movies, you guys. I mean, it's so funny when it comes to Oscar time, everyone at like my workplace and stuff are like, oh, you got a big night Sunday. Like, I'm about to go to the Oscars. Like, I'm presenting.
Next year,
it.
Kayla, we are here
like,
for sponsorships.
They're like, is it tomorrow? I was at work at Open House. They're like, is it, tomorrow's your night, isn't it? And I'm just like, yes, it is. Thank you for knowing that. But some people are just like, oh, the Oscars, like what movies? In a world of streaming, I just feel people are more comfortable like turning on Netflix and seeing what's on there than going out to see stuff. And the one hand, I love that because then I get to go to the theaters and not have crazy people who don't know how to act in the seats next to me that have been driving me crazy as more people come back to the movies. But the other hand, it's like, there's so many good films. There's so many good things. Go out, have a night, have a date night, have a family time, and just go see a movie, people.
I'm telling you, Kayla, the movies are back, and that's thanks to Dune. So this time next year, we're going to be talking
there
about
it is.
Dune.
There's Dune.
Running the Oscars. Wadib! Lisan
Al-Gaib! Justin,
all right, sorry. All right, we're gonna get back on track. My apologies.
Justin, come back.
I don't
want
to oppress this entire podcast. So continue.
No, we can't. There's the whole year to be talking about Dune, / in future week. So, oh my God. I mean, overall, it was a great Oscars night. I did appreciate the earlier time. I hope that's something that they keep for sure.
7 o'clock East Coast. Who cares about the West Coast people? I don't give a shit.
I don't care.
East Coast, 7 p.m. This is where majority of people in this great country of ours live. This is what matters. Okay. Screw the West Coast.
This is what we're made for.
It doesn't matter that they actually film it on the West Coast and all the actors and directors are on the West Coast. That means nothing. Kayla and I are on the East Coast. Play it at 7. We are done by 10:30. We're recording this pod right after, and we're still going to be able to get to bed before, you know, like 2 a.m. So that's a win.
Yes. Totally can't believe I skipped Best Supporting Actress. I think it was because it was the first one of the night, too. I didn't give my kudos to Divine Joy Randolph for winning for The Holdovers.
Yeah, that was another cinch where everybody knew she was going to win going in. It was a great performance. We talked a little bit about that movie earlier on in the podcast, and I was a huge fan. I think I had that ranked as my number 2 on the Oscar movies this year. So very well done. Kind of brings you back to when they made simpler movies. And one of the speeches, I'm trying to remember who it was, Korda, who was, who did he win for? Was it for the one of the screenplays where he was talking about just, why don't we, instead of making a $200 million film, why don't we make 10 $20 million films or 54 million dollar films? And he kind of went on to this, hey, it matters. People have stories to tell that may not be able to get this crazy amount of funding. Why can't we take risks for smaller films instead of only lumping all the risks together for these massive ones? And that's something we've been talking about for a while on the pod, and a lot of people in the industry have been talking about, where the last, 5, 10 years, if you're not making a movie for over $100 million, it's not getting made and released to theaters.
Right.
It's going directly to streaming. And that's something that really needs to change so that the quality of the work can kind of sustain over time.
Yeah, that's how, you know, she got to shout out someone like Dominic Sessa, who, you know, was a first-time actor mm-hmm. in this film to get nominated. And so that's how you get to spotlight those type of performers. And I did get to listen to Divine talk about how she was going as a singer initially. And she talked about that on another podcast. And she said how she didn't get into or had like a bad, someone said something bad in her performance or critique. And so she was just like, I'm done. Or they weren't letting her graduate, something like that. And so she was just like, I'm done, I'm not going to perform again. And her mom just said, try acting, like finish school, try acting. And she's like, no. And she did it and just like obviously thrived. Now she has an Oscar. I mean, I love hearing stories like that, especially when I appreciate the people who were Robert Downey Jr. from as a kid rising up, finally got his Oscar. But I really love the people that just... like fate, you know. I don't know.
Like
I don't
Lily
wanna,
Gladstone.
Yeah,
almost this
I don't want to say like it's not hard work and talent, but it's just like it really feels like all these things align to get them to where they are. I just feel like I really root for them. You know, it's just it's like yes, I love you're supposed to be here type of stuff.
You.
So great stuff for the Oscars. Any other thoughts on I guess the show as a whole or anything else?
Just the fact that this was one of the more fun Oscars that I can remember in the last at least 5 years. This mm-hmm. was a great time. The hosting could have been a little bit better, but the production, the show was fun. We were engaged the whole time. We were having a great time. You know, our bet was the most interesting expense since we started doing this podcast, which added an extra little layer there towards
the end.
You're
getting better, young Padawan.
Yes, getting better. I'm actually focusing on the movies. But yeah, I had a great time this year with the Oscars, Kayla. So hopefully they can kind of keep this momentum going next year. And I assume the ratings are going to be up a lot this year, especially with how many of these mm-hmm. big name movies we already talked about.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people are seeing more of the movies than they this year than they did the previous year. And I just think this is going to be a very good Oscars coming up. I know we have a long while to wait until then, but oh, Justin, save it. get off the sand worm, Justin. Let's get back here. Come back to me.
I'm drinking that water of life.
You know, we talk a lot about what could be a little different for the Oscars. I do think they could benefit from some different categories and things like that. But I just think when you have a good transition of generations, you know, when they spotlight mm-hmm. the younger crowd coming in, I mean, we talk about, okay, I'm going to say it, Dune, and the spotlight of these younger actors all coming together and having this amazing big picture moment, you know, you gotta start seeing everyone, you know, in the crowd, you know, you don't just want to see certain people. And so I appreciate that, you know, you get to see people walk across the red carpet and you get to see like the Jodie Foster that we're thanking for all mm-hmm. of her work. And then, you know, we're seeing Florence Pugh just look absolutely great the last 2 minutes of the show, you know?
Yeah, you saw her for about 20 seconds.
God, it was a painful long Oscars waiting for that moment, but I finally got it with Oppenheimer's win. So good stuff. Again, to wrap up our Oscars talk here, I won again. Congrats to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically.
A true patron of the arts.
There should be a one.
True taste.
A one
superior knowledge.
A penalty of one for miscounting, I think.
Oh,
I think
no,
that's what
yeah.
should happen.
Okay. Looking forward to shots.
Everybody!
Oh my God, that's going
to
be great.
That'll
okay.
have to be on video. Well, we'll have to figure that
out. We'll have to figure that out. Yeah,
too.
The logistics, we'll have to. Okay, shall we get to our Swirly of the Week? All right, listen, the Oscars are long. I get it. And I get the jokes about Killers of the Flower Moon. It was too long. Same way we talk about the Oscars. But listen, there weren't a lot of like funny presenter moments. And I look forward to that. Like when we were truly laughing at the Kate McKinnon like skit that she was doing. Like we really laughed at a couple of them. But like they were just so...
Where she said she was sending tasteful nudes
yes.
to
Spielberg on accident. Yes, on accident. That was fantastic. But I just thought like a lot of them were so straight-laced. we both have a real aversion to like awkwardness. Like yep. We start moving in our seats.
I gotta cover my face.
So you know, when two presenters are together that don't vibe well and they're just like the humor's not working, we're both like, oh my God, please get them off stage. It's not yep. going well. But then you miss out too on like the good energy. I just was like, they put different, like, well-suited people together, you know, like Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt. Like, when you have people that work together before and Amy Poehler, like, have that chemistry, it's really fun to watch them read the teleprompter and joke. And I don't feel like they really had a lot of that this time.
Yeah, it was really only those couple that I mentioned before where we had the, we had Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling, we had the streaker bit, and then we had the twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito, but besides those, nothing else really like stood out.
Yeah,
to
that's
me.
Part of the fun too. Is like, oh, when the presenters come on, you're like, okay, what's going to be the gag here? Yeah. You know. So I wish they did a little more of that. That's my swirly for the show.
All right, so you want a 4-hour telecast, Kayla?
I know I do.
That's true. So my swirly of the week is going to be me again, guys. So
for losing the Oscars bet?
No, it'd be for you for miscounting. But let's not get to that right now, Kayla. Jeez. I'll learn how to count. We learned that in like second grade.
You're gonna talk about how you were swirly. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, besides, yeah, me posting.
As you insult me, yes. Go
posting
ahead.
Opinion. As you can tell, it's late, guys.
It's almost midnight.
I'm losing my mind. Just yes. Straight up, I think it's happening. My memory is getting shot. My wife's calling me out it now. Okay. I'm, what, 34? I feel like I'm 67 sometimes. It's ridiculous. So a couple weeks ago, I had some college buddies in town, former roommates, and we went out to dinner to...
it was your 25-year reunion, right, from college?
Not quite. They were in to watch an SU game for their birthdays, and we hung out a little bit, got some dinner, and then I paid the check for me and my lovely wife and signed the check and then just left my card there. And then we went out to a bar after for a couple hours and I get there and I go, I just paid with my car. I left it in the Padfolio thing at the restaurant. So I had to call her. She was able to go back and get it. Thank you. Today, I was running around helping her. We're going to a surprise party. So I got a card for it. And then I went to get a Tully's gift card for it. And I walked into Tully's, paid for a Tully's gift card with my credit card, got the gift card, signed it, apparently left my credit card there and left.
Oh my God.
And then I was coming home, stopped at Tops, went home, and then we're going on the, like, back to the place. And I was like, oh my God, on the way back, where the hell is my credit card?
Stop.
I must have left it at Tully's. And she goes, wait. What the hell? And then we had to stop in Tops again. I basically was like going between Tully's and Tops all day today because I couldn't remember
you
anything.
You can't be trusted with money, Justin. I think you have to give it to Chip.
I can't. Yeah, that'd be worse, I think.
That's the only...
And then we're like on our... When we were going back home, I'm like, oh, the one thing we were going to Tops for was me to get energy drinks so that I could watch the Oscars and not pass out before the podcast. That's the one thing we freaking forgot at Tops. So we were back at... I was at Tops 3 times today with like the same cashier each time. So that was fun. I literally just think my memory is shot in my old age without even having a little one running around here yet and only being 34. I don't know what's happening to me, Kayla. I think I need you to just save me from myself.
That's well, yes, that is true. We've always known that. But yeah, if you're looking at me to be the memory bank, we're definitely doomed. So I have to be reminded about things I did. I'm like, oh yeah, I did that. So... We're going to be fun orators of our history, I think, later on in life. So that's great.
Well, at least we have this podcast to listen back to.
That's
so
true.
We can slowly listen to our minds degrade over time.
We need to have a side part. We just talk about our days. So we couldn't remember. Justin, listen back. That's where you left your card.
Listen back to April 18th when you said this.
Oh my God. That's great. Okay. Shall we get to our friendship question of the week?
Sure thing, Kayla. So we want to keep this kind of Oscar theme this week. So the thought was, if you're at an Oscars party, just us, little Kayla and Justin hanging out, shooting the shit with all these big celebrities around, what is like the maximum level of celebrity or person that you would feel comfortable going up to unsolicited? Just like walking up to and trying to start a conversation. For me, the first one that came to mind, and it, you know, probably not the best after winning a best actor, is Cillian Murphy, because he just seems like he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be doing any of that. He doesn't give a shit. He's just an Irish dude. And I feel like if I just had like a damn Budweiser and I had like two bottles and I was like, hey, need one? Cheers. We could just shoot the shit for a couple minutes, you know, and just talk about TWTSTB, the Wind That Shakes the Barley, obviously, because who wouldn't bring that up as the first movie when you're talking to him at an Oppenheimer victory party, perhaps. But he just seems like the chillest to make that inroads with. And it might be more difficult after he actually won the Oscar here tonight, but that's my answer.
See, I could also see another side of it where he's very serious and you're like trying to make jokes and stuff. And he's like, huh? Like they always talk about he doesn't like have a phone and like he like Christopher Nolan. And
oh, no, I would like legitimately probably would not talk to him about film at all. I'd walk up to him with a beer and be like, hey, what's going on? Yeah. And I just like stand there and drink a beer with him and talk about like random shit for a minute. I would not talk to him about his actual acting career. No, I wouldn't bring that up because that'd be too forceful. Okay. I wouldn't have the nerve. I need somebody much lower down on the ladder to do that.
That's great. Okay. I said this and I think it may be crazy and delusional, but I really think I could talk to Jennifer Lawrence.
She gives that vibe
off. I just feel like her awkward energy, like even when she's in talk, you know, in interviews and stuff, and she just does a little like, ooh, like that's me. I just feel like we could, you know what it is? This is what I picture. We're at the after party, we're at the bar waiting for a drink, we're both next to each other, and ooh. I just make some sort of comment about
Florence, you walking by, and you being like, damn, shorty.
Is that, that's how I say yes. That's how I've heard Kayla say that before. You know me so well.
Shorty, what that thing do?
Stop. oh my goodness. Yeah, I just think we could like really hit it off and be best friends, and that would be my dream.
So just one of the most famous actresses in the entire world.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Well, I guess I said
I think I got the riz, as they say.
So. Kayla's got the riz, guys. All right. We got to test this out. We should just go to a random bar.
Kayla. All right, let's do it. Yeah. It's almost midnight. Let's go.
Riz up anybody at the bar, Kayla. Let's go.
All right. Let's do it. But we're not doing that tonight. And I think that wraps it up for Oscar Pod. Again, Kayla win, Justin lose.
Womp, womp, womp.
Shots to be had. Shots to be shared. I'm looking forward to that podcast. I don't know whether it'll be listenable, but we'll do it. We'll get it done. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Well, that's it for this episode of Wrong Opinions Only. Please follow us on Instagram at Wrong Opinions Only and on Twitter at Wrong Opinions JK, where we'll be dropping some clues and hints to upcoming episodes. Until then, JK out.